a tag team effort by Michelle Harrell and Janelle Wells. They're both with the University of South Florida. Unfortunately, Michelle Harrell was under the weather and couldn't make it, but we've got her her compadre to, yes, to do the rest. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Great.
Great. So in 4 years that I've worked with Michelle, she has never missed an engagement before. So she's very much under the weather. Last night, she kind of gave me a heads up that she wasn't feeling well, but she'll do her best to make it. So she apologizes profusely, even to me, to putting the onus on me. Okay, but to let you know a little bit about our program, we're both faculty members at the University of South Florida in the College of Business, and specifically the Sport and Entertainment Management program. So we only have a graduate program with MBA students, okay? And they're working 3 days a week in the industry, and then 2 days a week they're taking classes. All right, so what are we here to talk about today? Social media and academia. And specifically, how do you disseminate your research? Okay, and how do you create connections? And if you have connections already, how do you deepen those connections? And also, how do you promote your work, your scholarly work? Okay. But before we begin, I do want to do an activity to get a sense of who my target audience is in here. So I'd like you to stand up. Let's be engaged here. So if you use Twitter for academic purposes, please stand up. Okay. Stay standing if you also use Facebook. Okay, for academic. Okay. Remain standing if you use LinkedIn. Okay. All right, still saying, what about Google Plus? All right. ResearchGate, how many are on ResearchGate? Okay, we got some low, we got two. What about academia.edu? Very similar to ResearchGate. Nope. All right. Mendeley, how many have used Mendeley? Okay, we'll learn about today. Don't worry if you've never even heard this word before. And then blogging, how many use blogs to disseminate their academic research? Okay, a handful, yep. All right, well great, thank you for participating. Okay, it allows me to gear this presentation to our audience. All right, well first I wanna talk about some stats that exist specifically addressing social media and the use of academics to disseminate our research. Okay, so if you see in this slide here at the front, the percents are sites that are visited daily. Okay, and also in the back then, you also see how many people post their own work. Okay, so if you look, it's the same. We have the same trends in here. Twitter was one of the highest used platforms in here. And then if you see Facebook, and then it slowly went down. Okay, but what is the difference that stands out there to you? We might be engaging in it, but we're not necessarily promoting ourselves and our own research in there. Okay, there's a disconnect that's there. Okay, using it to share peers' work. If you see on the left, okay, this is where content's that related to your work. And then on the right, that's your authored content again. So the same story is being told here, right? I'm more likely to share someone else's content than my own, okay? So it's interesting, I'd ask myself, why is that? Okay, now engagement, okay? Where's the most engagement that we're seeing? Twitter, okay? The same thing even in here, okay? The majority of people stood up here for, and even though no one stood up in here for Mendeley, that actually is a reference resource management. So using like an EndNote, okay, you can do, and we'll be able to show you here if you've never used it. Okay, so now that we know where people are engaging on, right, we want to talk about what's your use now. And the same thing when we're talking about scholarly articles, what's the first thing that we do? We conceptually, we plan, right? And so the same thing has to be done when you're using a social media platform or any of your channels, right? What do you want your brand to say? What do you want your brand to say about your academic research? Okay, so it's first taking the time to plan, right? Create, you guys have created it, right? You have this research that you're doing, so you created it, right? Now, how are you going to engage? Are you going to ask questions? Do you want to have that level of engagement? What level of engagement do you want to have also? And then, because we have the insights, right, we can analyze what is the best time of day? Who are the people? What's the target audience that I can disseminate my information to, right? And then we can make changes and we can continue this life cycle, right? We do the same thing for our research work, so why aren't we doing the same thing online, okay? All right, so the big question is, do we have time? Do you have time on social media? You're blogging, you're a blogger.
Yeah.
You do? You make time.
I make time.
You make time, okay? How do you fit that within your regularly, whether it's a day or weekly schedule?
Depending on the
doing, but I do extension education, so it's a big part of my job. So it's maybe easier for me than a lot of people to work that into my schedule because I've got to get information out, disseminate it in a way that people can actually find it super easily.
Yeah. And we say, do you have time? That's different to everybody. It's also different to the target audience that you're trying to reach, right? What platforms are you using? If you are a blogger, you have to be very consistent, right? You have to have a lot more content than 140 characters, right? Okay? So what is your time? Also think about, where are you in your career stage? That might be very different, you know, if you're an assistant professor compared to a full professor, okay? So for you, your time is going to be maybe different, right? And how you value your time might be different based on life stage, career stage that you're in, okay? Some resources, that's what we want to go through now, kind of each of these resources. How many in here have ever heard of Rice or Ryerson University, their social media lab? No one? Okay, so Basin, it's based in Canada, okay? But they're doing quite a bit of research on communication, how this communication is being disseminated, what information is being disseminated, also what are the social, political, and economic effects on social media, right? We've even seen our own political landscape right now, how it has affected, okay, campaigns, right? How advertising is affecting social movements, okay? So I'd highly encourage you to check it out. They have some great resources on there, and you can see the research that they're doing real time, okay? Okay, we have the bloggers in this room, so this is nothing new to you, right? Very time consuming, one of the most time consuming, right? But also one of the most beneficials, okay? Because you can increase your SEO, right? Good thing to know if you're not a blogger and you're looking to get into it, the research and the reading is this F pattern. So what is an F pattern, right? If we draw an F, you can see on here there's kind of like an F. So us as consumers, when we first do, when we start reading something, yes, the title stands out to us. We're really engaged. That title, you know, can reel us in, right? But the more and more we read, the less we read from each paragraph, okay? So that's why they call it the F pattern. So things to think about. Use subheadings. Use bullets, right, to engage, because very few will read the entire article, okay? Also for bloggers to know, some come and go, right? So you do have to be consistent, right, and reach that target. You can't just post once a month, you know? You have to be very consistent with your audience. All right, so how, we have posed this question, can Twitter be used to create a sense of community? Yes, and this is specific in academia. It's one of the first researchers to have been done in 2011, okay? And what they said, right? It's most accepted. It's the most accepted. And we even saw here in the room, the most of us stood using Twitter, right? But there are challenges, right? There's a lot of noise on Twitter these days, okay? So what are you having pushed to you? What are your lists that you're following, okay? How can you calm that noise, right? But it's also one of the most engaging with scholars, okay? So things to recognize. LinkedIn. Can you raise those hands again? How many use LinkedIn? Only a handful. I'll say we're a very applied program. So I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably the majority of my time. Bringing in guest speakers, okay, because we really, in our program, bridge this gap between scholarship and practice. And so one day a week, I even work down at the Lightning, okay? Majority of practitioners, this is the site that they're using, okay? So we encourage our students, where our program is very big on placement. We have 100% placement rate of our MBA students, okay? And this is where we make the connection with practitioners. Okay. They're also pushing when they see information, you know, might not be scholarly, right? But that's where they're engaging a lot in the professional sector. Okay, not as much in the academic sector, you know. So I think that's where we're here, and we could use it a little bit more. All right, the ResearchGate in academia. So a few people in the room use ResearchGate, but no one in the room had used academia.edu. Very similar. Right? There's a difference here on the number of usages, right? How many are members, okay? But the big difference is how many publications are in this. One thing to note, how many in here knew this is these are both for-profits? Right, these are both for-profit sites, right? Sometimes when we're putting our package together, we might quote how many times it's downloaded in ResearchGate, okay? So it's interesting just to know kind of the agenda behind each of these sites. All right, so social media and tenure. We're putting together a tenure packet. Anyone heard of Netlytics in here before? Okay, it's very similar to social network analysis. Right? This is where it's going to show the reach of your information. How is it clustered together? Who are you connected to? Okay, you could look at it from, could be a construct, maybe your theoretical, framework that you've been using. Okay, you could also use it to co-authors. Okay, and you can see how everyone is connected, right? So it's a great visualization tool to use. All right, some tips and tricks. Probably nothing in here, nothing new in here that you may not know, but there's about 11 we want to cover. Okay, first and foremost, keep it up to date. I know I laugh. My colleague Michelle put this picture, and I go, this is kind of what I almost look like this morning, you know? But keep it up to date, okay? Whether that's your picture, whether that's your research, your latest research, okay? Other 10, if you haven't already, follow those, whether it's organizations, scholars that you like their information, right? That you like to collaborate with, right? Big thing on here on number 3, and I would say still be authentic in it, right? You want to give updates, but very few of us, if we remember from the first statistics, very few of us are promoting ourselves, okay? And so it's a fine line. How can you do that authentically, okay, without being, like we say, cocky or really confident, okay? But it is something that you must do. There's a way that you could do it. You could ask questions. If you want to create that engagement, remember that's up to you. As you could start creating this conversation, you need to know what your limitations may be. Okay? Hashtags. I would very much encourage you, if there's a hashtag that can umbrella all of your research, that's great. And always have it, right? That's the way that you can track it, and you're known for that hashtag. Okay, some other ones. Some current research, actually, that Michelle and I have been doing, it's in the sport realm, right? Photos and links. Okay, we're significantly higher engagement than just text. Okay, that's what we're finding. That was with some NBA data that we've been working on. Okay, hyperlinks. Yes, you can use shorter ones if you're looking. If you want to send someone to a website, right, and see maybe what some click-through rates would be. Okay. Also, we did see there was higher levels of sharing those that you're collaborating with their researchers. But once again, what's your research doing? Okay. Some other things: post about the conference that we're in, right? Maybe how that connects with your own research. Also. And then number 11, if you haven't looked at this altmetric, that's a way that you can also track your article's impact that there is. All right, but unfortunately, there isn't a one-stop shop, okay? And no one in this room is the exact same. We don't have the exact same lived experience, okay? And so it's going to be different for everybody. You need to know what works for you, how much time you're going to dedicate it, right? And also understand that consumers start to have that expectation, okay? And so what is that, right? But also, if you even think about time, how many of us have time for conferences, right? It interrupts our work, our productivity, but we're all here. We're sitting in here, okay? So take that same mindset, okay, about your academic research in the social media realm. Okay, if you have any questions, this is for Michelle and I's email address. If we can help in any way. Anyone have any questions? Yes, sir. You know, so it's kind of, I would say, what's a little bit of it? What could you open up the door? You do not give away, you know, all your trade secrets here. But what is a little bit? We can open the door, whether you invite or you open it up to conversation. Okay? But it is a fine line. Right? Okay? But also, it also shows there's enough work to be done here. Right? So sometimes we go in with that mindset, but I would encourage you maybe to flip that. The more of us that are working on it, we can bring notoriety to it. Right? When you start a movement to uncover something, there's quite a bit of research questions that can be asked. Another thought? Yes.
Did you have experience changing, LinkedIn as individuals? So we started to put up our program as a LinkedIn individual and not an individual because it gets
yeah.
really confused. Any experience on using a program as a LinkedIn account?
We use it. So I teach something at the Lightning. Dr. Harrell and I do Lightning Leadership Line. So we've created a group. Okay, so it's essentially a lead. So there's only been 30 people over the last 3 years. And so we've created a group that way that shares information. There, so I'd assume, and we also have one for our program that we use. You know, so we will post things to there as well. So you can make a group, and then you invite whoever the administrator is can invite specific people.
Are you doing it as the individual account, or doing it as a sort of a professional group account? If we started a professional group account, and it doesn't have the follows and everything else. So they came back and said you really can't have the individual account should be an individual. Yet experience with that when they came back and said that's not
no, we haven't had come back because we've set up the group.
Okay.
Yeah. So I wonder, I would call, if you can speak to someone at LinkedIn, see, and maybe it's because you put it as, we just made it a group. We didn't make it a professional group.
Okay.
Yeah. So that might be the differentiating factor.
Thanks.
Yeah. Anything else?
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.